America and the world. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We greet our new affiliate today, WMQM AM 1600 in Memphis, Tennessee. Glad to have them on board with us as we continue to look at news stories and interview people across the political spectrum, but particularly folks who are with us on the American right will be on the show from time to time, talking about things of importance to us as we continue to move toward a new world order, as we continue to move closer to what appears to be the onset of a third world war in the Middle East. But in this past week, we've had some folks on this show that I think bear examination in regard to all of the things that they bring to the table for future conversations among those of us who call ourselves true American conservatives. That includes Michael Perutka, who was on the show on Tuesday. You can find his websites at theamericanview.com and also at iotconline.com. Mike Perutka was the 2004 candidate of the Constitution Party for the presidency of the United States, and he had a number of things to say about the Constitution Party and about the Constitution and about different things that we seem to be heading toward in American society, and this was from last Tuesday's show, this past Tuesday. Take a look at his sites, theamericanview.com and also iotconline.com. In that regard, I have invited Howard Phillips to be on this show. Howard Phillips created the Constitution Party, founded it, and is still the chairman of the Conservative Caucus in Washington, D.C., or Vienna, Virginia, just outside of Washington. I'd like to have Howard come on to discuss his take on all kinds of things going on in American society and also with the Constitution Party. Not yet heard from him, but when I do, we'll get him scheduled. And then yesterday, I had a particularly fun time with Dr. Alan Quist, who, of course, was in the Minnesota House of Representatives for about 5 years. He was the Republican candidate for the governorship of Minnesota in 1994. Alan Quist, Dr. Alan Quist, is a professor of American government at Bethany Lutheran College in Mankato, Minnesota. He is so integral in the homeschooling movement in that state and around the country, and again brought to the table yesterday some fascinating and terrifying information about what is going on to bring the Mark Tucker Global Education Plan into the American political system and the American educational system full bore. This involves basically pipelining the agenda of UNESCO into the American school system from kindergarten through the last year of graduate school. And all of that is especially ominous now with something called the Dodd-Ehlers bill. I have talked about this again in a post that I have at Breaking All the Rules News about Dr. Quist's appearance on this show yesterday. That so-called Dodd-Ehlers bill, also known as the SPEAK Act, is U.S. Senate Bill 224. And H.R. Bill 325. If those bills pass the House and Senate and go to conference, and we end up with some version of an agreement on these bills in conference, this whole thing will become American law. At that particular juncture, Dr. Alan Quist said yesterday on this show that if some version of the Dodd-Ehlers bill or the so-called SPEAK Act actually becomes federal law, the ball game is over. The globalists, the UNESCO people, the New World Order people will have engaged in a complete takeover of the American educational process. And as Dr. Quist was talking yesterday, that gives you and me somewhere between 6 weeks and 6 months to battle this thing and to keep it from becoming law. We'll be back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We'll be taking a look at Middle Eastern policy again when I come back and getting ready for our guests at 9 a.m. Stay tuned.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits. No increase to your monthly mortgage payments. No refinancing and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Learn about the new discoveries of MSP Research. Find out about the success MDs, dentists, veterinarians, and others are having with Silver 500. Learn secrets to survival, how to detox the liver, gallbladder, and kidneys, and how over 1,100 doctors are treating Lyme disease, hepatitis C, diabetes, respiratory infections, and many more with success thanks to the help of MSP Research and Silver 500. Microbiologists have tested our mild silver protein and found Silver 500 to be the most effective treatment for B. subtilis, a subgroup of anthrax. Choose the products in your medical supply wisely. Our doctor's manual has grown to over 600 pages. Give us a call at 1-334-493-0420. That's 1-334-493-0420. And see why doctors in five countries use a dozen products that are manufactured by Dr. Bill McFarland. One more time, that's 1-334-493-0420. Or visit our website at www.mildsilverprotein.com/home.html.
Back. This is Mark Dantos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We've been looking at a series of news stories in the first hour of the show and talking about a new book on General Curtis LeMay, which comes from Barrett Tillman. It's a biography. It's a part of a Great General series that is a Palgrave Macmillan publication. And this thing with LeMay is very fascinating. If you happen to be at Borders or Barnes & Noble, take a look at that book. It will open up a whole area of interest to you if you like World War II in regard to studying it in history, and if you've got an interest in combat aviation, this book is for you. Also, if you like fascinating personalities in history, General Curtis LeMay was certainly one of those, and he is often simplified in terms of the depictions of him by the far left in this country, who tend to see him as some sort of a one-dimensional moron and mass murderer and so forth. I don't believe that he was any of those things, and Barrett Tillman's work on him is well worth your time. So if you're at Borders or Barnes & Noble browsing the books, take a look at this one. They've even got it displayed in the front of the store when you come in at Borders up there in San Antonio, at least, as you come into the Forum bookstore at, or the Borders bookstore at Forum. And this is a Palgrave Macmillan publication. We've been talking a little bit this morning about foreign policy and Condoleezza Rice basically sounding the traditional Israeli line in what she says at Haaretz today. And in conjunction with that, I will be taking a brief look this morning at something that has appeared in Pat Buchanan's The American Conservative. Brendan O'Neill, who is the senior editor of Spiked Online in London, has an outstanding piece entitled How Israel Helped to Create Hamas. That's factual, absolutely factual, and Brendan O'Neill has all of the evidence today online at Pat Buchanan's The American Conservative. Take a look at that story because it shows how Israel manages to manipulate and to define the fault lines of various societies where it's operational and to exacerbate those fault lines in a way which engage in a diversion from what Israel is doing to other things. And this business of identifying fault lines and supporting front groups and being involved in covert political manipulation and black operations and so forth that are designed to keep people from focusing upon the real issues, a test case for that is Israel's creation of Hamas. Israel now says it won't negotiate with Hamas, that they are dangerous people, that they don't belong in a Palestinian coalitional government and so forth and so on. And yet Brendan O'Neill's piece today for Pat Buchanan's American Conservative, which is in the February 12th print edition of the American Conservative, goes a long way toward proving that Israel actually created Hamas. We have a caller, Rita in Texas. Go ahead, Rita.
How are you doing, Mr. Dankoff?
Good. How are you?
I'm contemplative. I was listening to your presentation about Israel and the hypocrisy and the dishonesty. Being a Christian, I remember a section out of the Bible that says, "My people perish because they do not know."
Yes.
Nikita Khrushchev, back in the 1950s, he was at the United Nations banging his foot on the desk, and he predicted and prophesied that we will bury you. And that's exactly what I think is going on right now, not only in the United States, but throughout the world. In doing this study, anytime I hear the word democracy being said, I have come to understand that is a code coin word for communism.
Yes.
Alger Hiss, who was convicted for being a Soviet spy or communist spy, was the author of the United Nations.
Absolutely.
It is a communist institution, the United Nations. I'd spoken earlier on your program, but as a reminder to the people that are listening or those who haven't heard, every military action that emanates from the United Nations must go through and pass through a Russian general, Russian national general. That explains the defeat of the American troops in Korea and Vietnam, and I'm pretty sure to predict the defeat of the American, and I say American spelt with a K for kosher instead of for C for Christian, of the American troops that are over there in Afghanistan, Iraq, and possibly even Iran. If people would get on the Internet and study the precepts of the Communist Manifesto, we have several of them already implanted in our country. We have a central bank. We have public education, which is actually governmental indoctrination. We have the graduated income tax, and we also have confiscation of property. That has been accomplished by the quote-unquote Supreme Court of the United States permitting for private property to be confiscated for other means of private property. It used to be eminent domain work differently, but it doesn't anymore with that aspect of it.
Yes.
The other thing too is that all the news media, Myron Fagan, as well as Benjamin Friedman, who was a convert to Christianity, and I don't know about Myron Fagan, but Mr. Benjamin Friedman was that way, was warning the American people back in 1961 about how the Jews control the United States. And this goes back even before the turn of the last century. They control the media, they control the movies, they control the publishing, etc. Now there seems to be a rather I'm not a neo-Nazi or anything else like that. I'm merely a historical student that searches out for the truth because I was confused for many years as to what was going on in our country, what could I do about it, and I needed to understand the problem. Well, there is a website that is called JewWatch.com that I was referred to. That has a lot of historical information and also information actually identifying all the Jews that are in power in our government. You know, we have had Jews that have been in the Secretary of Defense, and as of late, Mr. Rumsfeld. Chertoff, who is the head of Homeland Security, is Jewish.
His mother was working for Israeli intelligence, I understand.
Exactly. There is another book that is called Plot Against the Church, written by Maurice Panay. It does refer to the Catholic Church, but it has a lot of historical fact in there that shows the strategy of the Jews going back even to the, I think it was the 11th or 12th century. There was an emperor Wurtza who was the ruler of Gaul, which was present-day Spain. And he had Jewish counselors, and those Jewish counselors encouraged him to turn the swords into plowshares to destroy the walls of the city. And then the Jews in Turkey was encouraging the Mohammedans over there to arm and help them to create for them Gaul as being their enemies. And what happened is the Mohammedans went into Gaul, which is Spain, and overtook it. And that's how the Muslims took over Spain. It took Queen Isabella and King Ferdinand to kick their butts out of it, but that's what happened. What I'm understanding is this is not a political war we're dealing with. This is actually a religious war. This is a religious war wherein the Jews, through B'nai B'rith, the Anti-Defamation League, and all its tentacles, are establishing communism in our nation. And if people would start reading books and finding out how the communists treated countries that they overtook. For example, I thought it was 80 million, but I saw another reference alleging that there were 100 million Christians from the time that the Russian Revolution started up until about the 1970s when it was recorded that the Jewish government of Russia and the other communist nations murdered the Christians. I am really concerned, Mr. Dankoff, with events that are going on in this country. The other thing, too, I don't know if you remember a Gordon Call. I knew him personally. I actually listened to him talk about the Jews, how the Jews controlled our country. I am firmly convinced that they murdered him, not because of income taxes, but to shut his mouth up because he was trying to warn the American people about the Jews, and they murdered him. There is a Google video that is called Death and Taxes that is a horrifying story of what they did. And I am thoroughly convinced that they are doing one by one through trumping up charges and confiscation of firearms through Project Exile. If people would look at Project Megiddo, I think it's called Project Megiddo. The FBI came out with a pamphlet, you know, where they identify as domestic terrorists, those who believe in the end times. That's any Christian who believes in the Bible. Because of the Book of Revelation or the Book of Apocalypse, those who are identified as constitutionalists and those who believe in the Second Amendment, they're identified as domestic terrorists. We are a communist nation, and what I firmly believe is going to happen, Mr. Dankoff, is the same thing that happened not only in Russia, but there was an attempt in the Spanish Civil War for the communists to take over. There was massacre galore. And also persecution of the Catholics, because Spain was predominantly a Catholic nation. There was a three-day attempt in Germany before Adolf Hitler came to power for the communists to take over. I think they've taken over already in the United States of America. I think that what's going to happen is that the vice is going to get tighter and tighter, and that there will eventually be blood and fighting in the streets because the people will resist. But I also believe, Mr. Dankoff, if those who are in the media, and I'm talking about people like yourselves or on other radios, if they do not warn the people when this thing comes down, and I don't know when it'll come down, I hope it doesn't come down in my lifetime, but there's going to be blood in the streets. And
my reading, Rita, is that this whole thing is picking up great speed and great momentum. We live in frightening times.
And the New World Order is nothing but the establishment of blatant Jewish communism through Freemasonry. And Freemasons, as far as I'm concerned, in this country, need to be arrested. They need, because they're a secret society and they're a criminal outfit that whether or not some of them...
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately one in four families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Would you enjoy a career where you pick your hours, work for who you want to, when you want to, as much as you want to? No one knows about this hidden career because there is no book, school, or teaching material available. Until now. Learn the trade of window painting. Window Genie is now offering a three-day workshop on DVD that shows you how to reproduce art, text, and graphics professionally, even if you can't draw a stick man. Secrets, cheater techniques, shortcuts, tips, and tricks are all revealed. Recoup your investment in as little as one job and have a career for life. This training also gives you the skills to do regular sign work, indoor murals, and signage. Begin your new career today. Just call us at 780-457-7109 or visit us at windowgenie.com. Again, that's windowgenie, spelled J-E-A-N-N-I-E.com.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
Texas and the Republic Broadcasting Network. We will be joined at 9 a.m. Central Standard Time by Elizabeth de la Vega, and then at 9:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. we'll be joined by Adam Hochschild. I'm reading right now from a very interesting piece that I've made reference to at an earlier point in the show, entitled How Israel Helped to Create Hamas. You know, with all this talk in the establishment press about the conflict between Hamas and Fatah, and the way in which Israel does not want Hamas to have any role in a Palestinian government, and they have enlisted the support of the United States in those endeavors, it's important to get the perspective of Brandon O'Neill on this at Pat Buchanan's The American Conservative. His piece, again, is entitled How Israel Helped to Create Hamas. And he goes on to say, in the bloody street struggle between Hamas and Fatah for control of the Palestinian territories, a civil war in all but name, Israel is firmly pinning its hopes on a Fatah victory. It sees its old enemies in Fatah as far preferable to Hamas, which refuses to recognize Israel's right to exist, and whose members still occasionally blow themselves up on streets and buses inside the Jewish state. Fatah has been a thorn in Israel's side for over 40 years. It is the largest group in the Palestine Liberation Organization, and its name is a reverse acronym of the Arabic titled Harakat al-Tahrir al-Watani al-Filistini, which literally translates, quote, Palestinian National Liberation Movement, unquote. But Israel is ready to overlook all that and is making moves toward its old secular nationalistic opponents, Arafat's men, quote unquote, in an attempt to isolate what it sees as the cosmically minded religious extremists of Hamas. When British Prime Minister Tony Blair publicly supported Fatah leader Mahmoud Abbas in December and promised to donate £13 million to Fatah, he won the fulsome praise of Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert, who thanked Blair for his, quote, good and interesting ideas, unquote, and agreed that it is time for, quote, moderate Palestinian elements to be strengthened, unquote. To this end, Olmert hinted that more than $700 million in tax receipts currently being withheld from the Palestinian Authority on the grounds that the money might end up in the coffers of Hamas could be released if a friendlier Fatah-led government were in control. This was seen by many as Israel giving the green light to Fatah to continue facing down Hamas. According to the military wing of Hamas, Fatah has even passed details of Hamas's military projects to Israel so that Israeli forces can more efficiently deal with Hamas militants. But there is something bitterly ironic in Israel's support for Fatah against Hamas, and it should be a lesson to governments everywhere that meddle in other states' affairs. In the past, Israel supported Hamas against Fatah. Indeed, in the 1970s and 80s, Israel played a not insignificant role encouraging Hamas's emergence in the belief that such an Islamist group might help rupture support for the mass nationalist movement of Fatah. 20 years later, Israel has switched sides, hoping that it can encourage Fatah to see off Hamas. It wants quote-unquote moderate Palestinians to take on the quote-unquote extremist Palestinians it helped to create. Like America and Britain before it, both of whom have supported and armed Islamist movements in the Middle East in attempts to undermine secular nationalistic parties, Israel is learning the hard way that it is one thing to let radical Islamists off the leash, but quite another thing to rein them back in again. If you make monsters, you shouldn't be surprised if they come back to bite you. Hamas first emerged in 1987. It was formed from various charities based in the Palestinian territories with links to the Muslim Brotherhood, the Islamist movement born in Egypt in the 1920s from which many of today's radical Islamic sects, including Al-Qaeda, have sprung. Israel allowed these Islamic charities to gain strength and influence in Palestinian areas, hoping that they would counter the influence of secular Palestinian resistance movements. Sheikh Ahmed Yassin, the spiritual leader of Hamas until his death by Israeli airstrike in 2004, formed Hamas as the military wing of his group, the Islamic Association, which was licensed by Israel 10 years earlier. During that period, when there was open conflict between Israeli forces and Palestinian nationalists, Israeli officials gave the nod to and even indirectly funded the establishment of Islamic societies in the West Bank and Gaza that might weaken the Palestinian Liberation Organization. Martha Kessler, a senior analyst for the CIA, has said, quote, we saw Israel cultivate Islam as a counterweight to Palestinian nationalism, unquote. The very Islamic groups, quote-unquote, cultivated by Israel in the 1970s became Hamas in the 1980s, which went on to become Israel's biggest nightmare in the 1990s. It remains so today. After the Six-Day War of 1967, Israel began administering the West Bank, Gaza, and the Sinai Peninsula, where the Arab nationalist forces that had previously controlled these areas were hard on Islamist activists, rightly judging them to be enemies of secular nationalism. Israel was much more lenient, even permissive in its attitude toward the Islamists. One of the first actions taken by Israel after its victory in the 1967 war was to release from prison Muslim Brotherhood activists, including Ahmed Yassin, the future founder of Hamas. We'll be back with Brendan O'Neill's article for Pat Buchanan's The American Conservative entitled How Israel Helped to Create Hamas. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio on RBN. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits, no increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Learn about the new discoveries of MSP Research. Find out about the success MDs, dentists, veterinarians, and others are having with Silver 500. Learn secrets to survival, how to detox the liver, gallbladder, and kidneys, and how over 1,100 doctors are treating Lyme disease, hepatitis C, diabetes, respiratory infections, and many more with success thanks to the help of MSP Research and Silver 500. Microbiologists have tested our mild silver protein and found Silver 500 to be the most effective treatment for B. subtilis, a subgroup of anthrax. Choose the products in your medical supply wisely. Our doctor's manual has grown to over 600 pages. Give us a call at 1-334-493-0420. That's 1-334-493-0420 and see why doctors in five countries use a dozen products that are manufactured by Dr. Bill McFarland. One more time, that's 1-334-493-0420 or visit our website at www.mildsilverprotein.com/home.html.
Obviously, something serious is going on, politically, economically, geologically, and environmentally. And how you prepare for those changes will determine your well-being in the very near future. Now, whether you're preparing for your family, your business, or your country, the Survival Center has the knowledge and experience to assist you in those decisions. Survival Center is America's premier supplier of family preparedness, health, and survival supplies with over 33 years of continuous operation. Now, you can start preparing with just knowledge, and that's why the Survival Center is offering a book. It's called Basic Preparedness, and it's just $19.95 plus shipping and handling. And it'll teach you about the four basics of survival: food, water, medical, and shelter. And when you order that book, you'll also get a free Survival Center catalog. Contact us today so we can help you prepare for whatever comes your way. Call us toll-free at 1-800-321-2900 or online at www.survivalcenter.com.
Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We've been looking at a series of news stories this morning, and at 9 o'clock Central Standard Time, or shortly thereafter, we'll be having Elizabeth De La Vega on the show, and then from 9:30 to 10 a.m., Adam Hochschild will come on for a little bit, and I will have guest introductions for both of them that will highlight what they're doing on the World Wide Web and where you can find their materials. But in this present time frame, we've been looking at the story on the one hand in Haaretz today that Condoleezza Rice has been indicating that the Palestinian Unity Government is complicating U.S. peacemaking efforts because of the role of Hamas in that government. That is also the present-day position of the Israeli government. But then we turn to Brendan O'Neill today, and Pat Buchanan's The American Conservative, and find the historical evidence that Israel, in fact, helped create Hamas as a counterweight to the nationalistic Palestinian secular political movements, chiefly Fatah, and that what Israel helped to create and to fund has now come back to bite them. Going on with Brendan O'Neill's piece here this morning, he goes on to say that one of the first actions taken by Israel after its victory in the 1967 war was to release from prison various Muslim Brotherhood activists, including Ahmad Yassin, the future founder of Hamas. Yassin and others had been jailed by Egyptian authorities after the Muslim Brotherhood tried to assassinate Egyptian President Gamal Abdel Nasser, the anti-colonialist and pan-Arabist, who considered political Islam a threat and an anachronism, and was fairly unforgiving in his treatment of its practitioners. Israel, by contrast, sensing that such radical Islamists might be helpful in undermining Arab nationalists like the Nasser-influenced Fatah in the Palestinian territories, released the Islamists from their cells and encouraged them to take root in Palestinian society. According to Robert Dreyfus, author of the enlightening and exhaustive book Devil's Game, How the United States Helped Unleash Fundamentalist Islam, political Islam grew exponentially as Israel took control of the Palestinian territories. Quoting Dreyfus, in 1967, the Israelis began to encourage or allow the Islamists in the Gaza and West Bank areas among the Palestinian exile population to flourish. The statistics are really quite staggering. In Gaza, for instance, between 1967 and 1987, when Hamas was founded, the number of mosques tripled from 200 to 600. And a lot of that came with money flowing from outside Gaza, from wealthy conservative Islamists in Saudi Arabia and elsewhere. But of course, none of this could have happened without the Israelis casting an approving eye upon it. It is from these Islamist roots that Hamas emerged in 1987. Dreyfus continues, quote, "There's plenty of evidence that the Israeli intelligence services, especially Shin Bet and the military occupation authorities, encouraged the growth of the Muslim Brotherhood and the founding of Hamas in the Palestinian territories," unquote. Indeed, according to former U.S. Ambassador to Saudi Arabia Charles Freeman, Shin Bet, the Israeli counterintelligence and internal security service, knowingly created Hamas. Quote, "Israel started Hamas. It was a project of Shin Bet, which had a feeling that they could use it to hem in the PLO," unquote. A former senior CIA official recently told UPI that Israel's duplicitous support for the Islamist groups that subsequently became Hamas was, quote, "a direct attempt to divide and dilute support for a strong secular PLO by using a competing religious alternative," unquote. Dreyfus agrees, pointing out how useful it was for Israel that an Islamist movement in the Palestinian territories antagonized, in some cases violently, the Mass Fatah outfit. Quote, "The Hamas organization was a bitter opponent of Palestinian nationalism and clashed repeatedly with the PLO and with Fatah, of course. And there were armed clashes on university campuses in the 1970s and 80s where Hamas would attack the PLO and the Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine and the Democratic Front for the Liberation of Palestine and other groups with clubs and chains. This was before guns became prominent in the occupied territories," unquote. In allowing the emergence of radical Islamicism, Israel was following in the footsteps of successive British and American governments in their policy of, quote, "the enemy of my enemy is my friend," unquote. Indeed, the Muslim Brotherhood itself, midwife to Hamas, is a creation of British colonialism. In the 1920s, the British and the colonial rulers of Egypt helped set up the Muslim Brotherhood as a means of keeping Egyptian nationalism and anti-colonialism in check. Dreyfus describes the original Muslim Brotherhood as a, quote, "unabashed British intelligence front," unquote. The mosque that served as the first headquarters of the Brotherhood in Maalia, Egypt, was built by the British Suez Canal Company. In the 1930s and 1950s, with Britain's knowledge and tacit approval, the Brotherhood both challenged anti-colonial parties within Egypt and spread to other parts of the Near and Middle East, setting up branches in Transjordan, Syria, Lebanon, and Palestine, were under the approving eye of Israel from the late 1960s to the 1980s. It eventually mutated into Hamas. Following Gamal Abdel Nasser's rise to power in 1954, both the British and Americans viewed the Brotherhood as a useful weapon against secular nationalism and communism. In his book, Sleeping with the Devil, former CIA officer Robert Bayer describes the quote-unquote dirty little secret in Washington in the early 1950s, namely that, quote, the White House looked upon the brothers as a silent ally, a secret weapon against what else? Communism, unquote. Al-Qaeda itself, that most radical and obscure of Islamic sects, springs from the Muslim Brotherhood. Osama bin Laden is heavily influenced by the thinking of Sayyid Quth, a radical member of the Brotherhood. The Egyptian Ayman al-Zawahiri, bin Laden's second in command and currently the public face of Al-Qaeda in its occasionally grainy videos and crackly audio recordings, was first radicalized by the Muslim Brotherhood before moving on to the more radical Islamic Jihad group in 1979 and subsequently fighting the Soviets in Afghanistan. Indeed, in both intellectual and physical terms, Al-Qaeda has benefited from Western intervention in Middle Eastern affairs. It takes its intellectual inspiration from the Muslim Brotherhood, that group supported by both American and British intelligence in the early and middle 20th century, and it was physically forged in the heat of the Afghan-Soviet War, a conflict largely facilitated by British, American, and Saudi support for the Mujahideen. In playing the same game as the Brits and the Americans, the so-called devil's game, Israel created its own grave diggers. Israel's encouragement of Hamas's emergence to counter secular nationalism represented an attack on the idea of popular and secular democracy, so it is not surprising that Hamas retains its somewhat extreme religious leanings and suspicion of traditional politics. From Egypt to Palestine to Afghanistan, the explicit aim of Western and Israeli support for radical Islamicism has been to isolate, weaken, and ultimately destroy popular political movements that very often were based on Western ideas of democracy and progress. Israel is now trying to rein in the consequences of its earlier actions by encouraging Fatah to take on Hamas, which is a recipe for further conflict and division in the Palestinian territories. That's Brendan O'Neill today. Brendan O'Neill is the deputy editor of Spiked in London, which you can find at spiked-online.com. And he writes this piece for Pat Buchanan's The American Conservative, and it's entitled How Israel Helped to Create Hamas. I wonder why Condoleezza Rice wasn't talking about any of that today. You figure it out, folks. I think it's very, very clear. You know, as we continue to go on with certain news stories today before our first guest comes on shortly after 9 o'clock, here's one for you. Bush is to keep higher troop levels in Afghanistan. Now, we've been talking about the surge of 21,500 troops in Afghanistan, in Iraq, chiefly in Baghdad and some in Al-Anbar province, and all of the attending risks in this, not simply in the continuation of the present policy, but when you start talking about support personnel, the actual surge may go up to 50 or 60,000 in regard to support personnel. And clearly we're talking about, according to the Wall Street Journal, another $100 billion this year for the war in Iraq and $145 billion next year. That does not factor into the equation a preemptive war with Iran, which even Newsweek is now featuring as a possibility in its front page of its current edition. If you've looked at the February 19, 2007 Newsweek, they're beginning to get, to some extent, what the American Free Press has been talking about for years. The hidden war with Iran, this is the cover of Newsweek, skirmishes, threats, missed signals, why the standoff could soon turn deadly. Picture of Mr. Ahmadinejad on the left, picture of Mr. Bush on the right. The long and the short of it is, however, that Afghanistan is also in the equation. The Taliban seems to be making a comeback there based on all the national and international reports as to what's happening on the ground there militarily. And in that regard, there is a story coming out of Reuters today which says that Mr. Bush is going to keep higher troop levels in Afghanistan in anticipation of fierce fighting against the Taliban this spring after the most violent year since the hardline group was ousted. If they've been ousted, then why is there so much trouble there with them militarily? I don't seem to get that. The Reuters piece, of course, shows Bush talking to the American Enterprise Institute, which, of course, is in turn linked up with the Israeli lobby and the oil folks and all the other ideological planners of this whole mess to begin with. But Bush continues the party line on Hamid Karzai, talks about more action being needed to eradicate poppy cultivation. Mr. Bush admits that there has been a marked increase last year in poppy cultivation, drug cultivation in Iran. And he's now saying that he wants the U.S. Congress to pony up another $11.8 billion over the next 2 years for Afghanistan to help this young democracy survive. Isn't worldwide nation building great, folks? Isn't dying on the part of American citizens great for the New World Order? Did the Founding Fathers envision that we would be involved in all of these different countries on the face of the earth, 130 as of last count, spending billions of dollars in borrowed money, going deeper and deeper into national debt, losing more and more American life, young men and women worldwide, in the interest of something that has nothing to do with what the Founding Fathers would have deemed to be the national security interest of this country? This is quite clearly grim material, and as we talk about this on the show today, we are speaking once again, aren't we, about a national security establishment that is rooted in globalism. This is not nationalism that we're speaking of here, although the selling of the policy is rooted in nationalistic imagery and symbolism in order to sell the policy to the American public. Quite clearly, there are constituencies involved in the promotion of these regional wars that involve American troops and American aviators and American sailors that are rooted in the interests of the Israeli lobby, the oil and natural gas consortiums, and the folks who believe in a globalist New World Order that employs American troops in 130 different countries in the world in the implementation of things that come out of the UN and that come out of the NATO agenda and come out of the European Union and so forth and so on. Quite clearly, now that we've got 25 or 27,000 troops in Afghanistan, 15,000 of those are in the NATO force, and the rest are conducting missions ranging from counterterrorism to training Afghan forces, that those people figure into this problem too. We should not forget those 27,000 folks any more than we should forget the 135,000 being surged up to 150,000 plus in Iraq, not to mention the untold numbers of people, American young people, that quite clearly will be involved at some future juncture in a war with Iran. That brings us full circle then, doesn't it, to something that Lieutenant General William Odom was talking about the other day at the Nieman Foundation at Harvard. Lieutenant General William Odom, of course, has described this intervention in Iraq as the greatest foreign policy and military debacle ever to be undertaken in the history of the United States. He has warned repeatedly not only against a preemption of Iran from the air, but has said that if that preemption does take place, that it will have to be followed by more American boots on the ground in that country. Can you imagine this, folks? I mean, every time I read these new stories coming out of the Middle East and as things continue to worsen, it is just beyond belief how much deeper the quicksand continues to get. We're talking about sending 21,500 more additional troops to Iraq. We're talking about bolstering the 27,000 troops in Afghanistan and in attacking Iran. If we strike them from the air, going back to Paul Craig Roberts' post on this the other day, which in turn was quoting Dr. Helen Caldicott and the presentation that she made on the ramifications of an American airstrike on Iranian nuclear power stations in regard to the dissemination of radiation worldwide, we're speaking about something here that seems to be almost of a science fiction character in regard to the draconian context and the draconian ramifications of these decisions. If we attack Iran and attack these nuclear power stations, that in turn, of course, according to Dr. Caldicott, quoted by Paul Craig Roberts, will result in an ecological and environmental disaster, both regionally as well as internationally, then we have to commit ourselves with troops on the ground, according to Lieutenant General William Odom. And how many troops are we going to need? And if we are floundering in Iraq, which is a nation of 26 million, if we're floundering there with the 150,000-plus troops that we have in Baghdad and El Anbar province and in Najaf and Fallujah, how do we expect to intervene in Iran which has a population of 70 million, over half of which is under the age of 30. And what are we going to do with the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, folks, that did so well between 1980 and 1988 in the Iran-Iraq War, that according to news reports of recent months, are being deployed by Mahmoud Ahmadinejad in the western part of Iran in anticipation of an intervention against American and British forces in Iraq if we attack Iran. This doesn't even begin to question the whole situation that will confront us in trying to keep the Strait of Hormuz open at the entrance to the Persian Gulf. If that strait is blocked, if the Iranians choose to block it, we could find ourselves with $100 to $272 a barrel prices on oil that will bring the price at the pump up to who knows what in this country. Add to that the onset of a global depression. Add to that the onset of the crash of the American dollar. Add to that the jettisoning of American debt instruments by Asian central bankers and all of the other things that have quite clearly been discussed in the international press in the wake of that sort of a military operation. And we begin to see that this is something that absolutely dwarfs the quicksand of what proved to be Vietnam and Southeast Asia for the United States in the 1960s and early 1970s. We are talking about cataclysm here on a global scale. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
Do you suffer from frequent and severe headaches? Well, you don't have to any longer. Headache Stay Gone is an all-natural headache remedy that is free of all side effects. Headache Stay Gone will cure any headache and prevent it from returning again. Painkillers can offer temporary relief at best, along with a long list of harmful side effects. Headache Stay Gone uses all natural ingredients and cures your headache, letting you enjoy more time with your family and loved ones. We'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone today and send you the bill. Wait until your headache is cured before you pay for it. That's right, Headache Stay Gone must work for you before you pay for it. Try Headache Stay Gone risk-free by calling 1-800-327-0727 or visit www.headachestaygone.com. Again, that's 1-800-327-0727. And don't forget to ask about your risk-free trial today. Call now. Start living life without the headaches.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson music shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We've been talking about all kinds of news stories today. Also talking about Barrett Tillman's new book, LeMay, a biography in the Great General series. That is a publication of Palgrave Macmillan. If you're interested in General Curtis Emerson LeMay, the next time you walk into Borders or Barnes & Noble, take a look at that book. We've also been talking about foreign policy today. Condoleezza Rice and her statements in Haaretz, expressing concerns about Hamas's participation in a Palestinian unity government. And yet, as we also see, Brendan O'Neill's piece today for Pat Buchanan's The American Conservative, Israel helped to create Hamas. It helped to fund it. It desired to use it against Fatah back in the days when secular Palestinian nationalism was, according to Israel, the biggest threat to Israel's security. So Israel creates Hamas, helps to fund it, tries to pit it against Fatah. Now that's all come home to roost in the alliance between Hamas and Fatah against Israel. But it's important to see how Israeli intelligence has been involved in some of these things all along, and the extent to which the line that Israel takes at any given particular point in time on these matters publicly is almost exclusively going to be the line of the American Secretary of State. That's fairly pathetic, but that's a fact. And compare Condoleezza Rice's statements today at Haaretz on the subject of Hamas with what Brendan O'Neill says at the American Conservative in his piece entitled How Israel Helped to Create Hamas. We've been talking about several other items in the news today. There is a front-page post at CNN on this whole business of the judge in Milan, Italy, who on Friday indicted 26 Americans and 5 Italians in the first criminal trial case over the CIA's extraordinary rendition program. Compare that post today at CNN, which is an AP wire story coming out of Milan, Italy, with what Richard Walker has written on this for the American Free Press on February the 12th in a piece entitled CIA Agents in Europe Face Kidnapping Charges and More. When you look at Richard Walker's piece for American Free Press, that's February 12th, page 10, compare it to what is now being said by CNN and AP coming out of Milan, Italy, and you'll see the extent to which the American Free Press was on top of this from day one. Again, going back to some guests that have been on the show in the last week, Michael Perutka of the Constitution Party has some websites at theamericanview.com and also iotconline.com that are worth your time again this week. Alan Quist was on this show yesterday talking about the globalist takeover of the American educational process. If you are not familiar with what is going on up on Capitol Hill right now, the so-called Mark Tucker Plan, which brings the UNESCO ideology and game plan totally into control of American education. That's something that the U.S. Senate and the U.S. House of Representatives are about to approve in these next 6 weeks to 6 months, unless they're stopped. It involves something called the Dodd-Ehlers Bill, and I have summarized what Alan Quist said yesterday on this show for Breaking All the Rules News. Take a look at that post. When we come back, we'll be joined by a guest, Elizabeth De La Vega. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.